Well, we're in our series, start off the new year. Remember, 2025 is a year of opportunity, the year of opportunities. I believe God is going to bring opportunities our way. We just need to be ready to step into those. And we want to start off talking about a fresh start, fresh wind, and fresh fire. So last week we talked about fresh start. Today we're going to talk about fresh wind, talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to practice the power of His presence. You know, there's only a few ways we can do that. We can do it every day. The Holy Spirit's a person. And, you know, I found out in my life, and hopefully you have too, that when the Holy Spirit shows up, things change. Things change big time. You know, our circumstances change. We change. Then also the world around us changes. And so when God sends the winds of change, we need to learn how to flow with Him and not against Him. And that's some things that just takes a little bit of trial and error, doesn't it? Has anybody ever missed God before? Thought God was going over there and He ended up going that direction. We've all done that. No condemnation, but we just need to learn from our mistakes and keep trying to learn how to hear the voice of God on our inside and let Him lead us and guide us. So a little recap about last week. We talked about a fresh start. We started off talking about we don't want to drift into the new year or really drift through life. You know, it's so easy as you go through the motions, just like anything in life. You've been doing something for, you know, quite a long period of time. It's so easy to put things on autopilot, isn't it? And then if we're not careful, we end up kind of drifting. And then we just kind of go with the current instead of going against it. And so we need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get into a drift and drift away from God. We need to examine ourselves. We looked at that, how it's important to check yourself out. Probably should go to the doctor and get yourself checked out every now and then. And also we need to check ourselves out spiritually. I like to do it a couple times a year, you know, to make sure I'm where I need to be. And then lastly, we looked at the idea of giving God permission to reveal anything that is holding us back in our relationship with Him. And that's a dangerous thing to do. It's one of those wild prayers. God, if you see anything wrong in me, I ask you to bring correction. Well, He will. So, yeah, He's going to show some stuff, but you can't, you know, get down, right? Correction's good. Correction gets us back on course. And so you can't look at it, well, you know, I'm not good enough and all that stuff. Some people take it that way, but no, everybody has failures and faults. We all have blind spots in our life, right? You know, you're just like in a mirror when you're driving. You know, your little side mirror, there's a blind spot there. You have to be careful. You just don't want to merge over into traffic. You want to make sure that you see everything, because if not, you could have a collision. Well, we can have problems in our life because of our blind spots. And we may be very good in certain areas. And you don't want to make that mistake. And I'm preaching to somebody right now. This ain't part of my message. You may be very good in some areas of your life, but you're not good in everything. And that's why you need people in your life to share with you and give them permission to speak in your life. Number one, God needs to give Him permission. He owns us anyway. But still, it's nice to give Him permission and rekindle that. And we also looked at the idea of that. To close out the message, we talked about to renew our commitment to Him. It's good to do that first year, renew that commitment to God and you know, the fact that, God, I'm into you, I'm going to follow you, nothing's going to get in the way, I'm just going to follow you with all my heart. You know, we need to restore that consecration, that we're set apart for holy use, we're sanctified, set apart for Him. You know, I'm a vessel for God's honor. So we do that. And then also we need to refresh our countenance. You know, don't walk around like a sourpuss Christian, like you've been sucking on pickle juice your whole life. I mean, nobody wants that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to, you know, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You know, and, you know, people, you know, if you want to try to be an evangelist, you know, you ought to come and be like me. Well, you better be smiling. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be a down, you know, what I used to say, a pouty wouty all the time, you know. And you want to be a smiley wily. You know, and try to, you know, the joy of the Lord, let it out. And then lastly, we need to revive our courage. It takes courage. You know, courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid sometimes. Courage is the fact that we're going to go through it and we're going to face our fears and we're going to go move through those. It's okay. It's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay to let fear hold you in bondage. That's not God's best. Amen? So it takes some courage. All right, now we're going to jump into our new part, talking about the fresh wind of God. We've got a couple, three scriptures we're going to look at. The first one I want to look at today should be very familiar. It's in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That was a good time there. I wasn't old enough then to see that, but I was close. Just missed it by a little bit. But anyway, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for a special stirring of your Spirit here today. Holy Spirit, we ask you just to take control. We thank you, Lord, that this is a year that you have made. We want to rejoice and be glad in it. Holy Spirit, we want to follow you. Let nothing get in the way. We bind up any disturbance or distraction that tries to steal the word or our focus on you today, Lord. And Holy Spirit, again, we just ask you to move, and I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what's interesting about this passage a little bit is that they were all together in one place. There's about 120 of them. And Jesus had went to the cross, risen from the dead, and he had come back and he spent some 40 days with them. Wouldn't that be wild? You know, here he is, you know, many of them maybe saw him carrying that cross, or maybe saw him tacked to that cross up there, and maybe saw him take his last breath. Then all of a sudden, he's back, right? And there he was. And I'm sure they found a lot of comfort in that, just like you and I would. But then he said he's leaving, he had to go back to the Father. So he told these people to go wait. And so they went to this room, they called it the upper room, and they went there and they were together and they were praying together as a form of unity. And so all together in one place, so they had unity of purpose. People, if we have unity of purpose, we're unstoppable. If we could just for a minute choose to unite our faith with something more than just ourself, we could tap into a higher level of power in God's things that he has for us. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come together. That means, you know, we pray together, and then we spend time together. We live life together. And that's what God had planned for the church. And this was the Pentecostal experience is what they call it. And it talked there about a violent rushing wind. We're going to look at about wind today. You know, it's always windy out here, it seems like, doesn't it? We always have to put something in front of a door so the wind don't blow it away. You know, the wind just always blows out here, and I want the wind of the Spirit to blow here all the time. Amen? Little code, I tell this, but some people, new people may not know it. Our church name is a little bit long, isn't it? You know, it's River-Life. It's not River of Life. It's River-Life Family Worship Center. See, we're a place where families go to worship God. But the word River-Life is code for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit flows like a river, and he brings the life of God to each and every one of us. And we need to tap into the flow of that Spirit. Because that's what sets us apart, is when we allow the Holy Spirit to live in us, and not only live inside of us, but next step, live through us. That's a key. Live through us. And that's when we change the world. That's when we make a difference in the world around us, is when we let the Holy Spirit live through us. So it's very important that we get to the place in our life that we just desire to see those things come to pass. Now, the wind, like I said here, it's a violent rushing wind that came in there, and this was the birth of the early church. It's a really powerful thing. You know, when Jesus had left, and basically, he'd been gone about 10 days. He spent 40 with them. And Pentecost, without going into it too much, it's talking about the word 50. So this is 50 days after Easter, roughly, give or take. And so that was the birth of the church, when God poured out his Spirit on these people. And then from the 120, boom, Peter started preaching a little bit later on. Boom, 3,000 got saved. But see, nothing happened until the Holy Spirit showed up. Amen? That's why we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit working on our life. And so looking at wind, because wind can be very powerful. Now, as a kid, I didn't really like the wind. I liked to play baseball. And when the wind blows hard, the ball doesn't go exactly where it's supposed to all the time. At least that's what my excuse was. You know what I'm saying? When I missed my target. But, you know, the wind can blow things off course and get you out. Have you ever been driving down the highway in a high wind? I mean, even in a small, shorter vehicle, sometimes that wind can just seem like it wants to blow you sideways. Just think about how them semis, what they have to deal with. They have to really pay attention. But also, as well as blowing you off course, to me, the wind of the Holy Spirit can blow you on course. Amen? He can put us back to where we need to be. And that's what we want for our life, is to be on course with God. And as I mentioned, this was the birth of the Holy Spirit. And what it was is that the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit was starting something new. And that was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus was going to be working through each and every believer, because the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. And the power of that experience and what all that means. Now, the word spirit is talking about the Greek word pneuma. You know what pneuma is, right? It's talking about air, talking about... How many's ever seen a pneumatic tool? They use them in construction. You know, you hook up the air hose to them. Now they got battery-powered, so they're not pneumatic anymore, but... a lot of them used to be, you have to stretch out these air hoses and, you know, you just pitch, 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 keep going. It really just, you know, you can put a lot of nails down real quick with that pneumatic tool. It's talking about air, the force of air on what it can do. And the wind, and talking about breath, the breath of the Holy Spirit, what it can do in our life. And so as you look through Scripture, some of the things I never really thought about until I was putting this together is that, you know, wind has been used throughout the Bible in many places. You know, the Scripture uses the word east wind. It's talking about judgment. In Genesis 41:6, you know, there was a vision given to Pharaoh, 7 years of good and then 7 years of famine. Well, the famine started because the east wind of judgment was coming. And God used Joseph in the first 7 years, we know, God gave him wisdom and he put food aside and being able to save the nation, not them, but also his family. But the east wind is talking about judgment. Sometimes it feels, you know, when God is judging things, them things happen. Also, west wind, when it's talking about it in the Bible, is talking about deliverance and mercy. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 19, it says that the west wind blew the locusts out into the sea. Remember during the plagues, there was 10 plagues back in Egypt, and each plague seemed like got a little bit worse. Well, when the locusts came, they were eating everything in sight. It was a judgment God was sending to that nation. But then, through prayer of Moses, the wind came, and it blew all the locusts out into the sea, and I'm sure they became fish bait. You know, God got rid of them through the west wind. We want the west wind of mercy coming in our life, right? I don't want the east wind of judgment coming into my life. I want the west wind. I want that mercy starting to flow and to be able to work in my life. Now, here, as we looked in the book of Acts in chapter 2 there, you know, like I said, Jesus had been appearing to them, and I'm sure they were quite excited, you know, being able to hang around with resurrected Jesus. You know, hanging around with regular Jesus was awesome, I'm sure. But here we're talking resurrected Jesus. I mean, that's just Jesus 2.0 or something like that. You know, I mean, just, man, here he is back again. And I'm sure that many of them who had maybe given their life and walked away from their previous life and everything they knew in Judaism, because for a Jew to become a Christian, it meant they had to walk away from the synagogue, which was your place where community was, where family was, and where if you had a need, you know, the poor could go there and maybe get their needs met and different things. But then when they became a Christian, their family turned their back on them. They would say, "You're dead to me." So I'm sure there was a little bit of feeling going on in their life where uncertainty. Have we all had uncertainty in our life? Maybe not know what's coming exactly down the road, let alone around the corner. Hard enough to see down the road. We can't see around the corner. God can. Well, Jesus appeared to them, and I'm sure that brought a lot of comfort. You know what I'm saying? Yay. I gave up everything and followed Jesus, and here he is. Praise God. He's dead, but he came back again. But then he said, "I'm leaving." I'm sure there's like, what? How could we ever get along without Jesus? Well, we know we can't. Until he sent the Holy Ghost, which is the third person of the Trinity. And so they didn't know exactly what was coming down the road. But Jesus told him when he left, "I want you to go up and I want you to wait. I want you to tarry." How many loves waiting on God? Anybody? Come on. Yeah, well, you know, I'm just waiting on God. How long have you been waiting? Well, a while. Fortunately, they only had to wait 10 days. And then God poured out his Spirit. And they were all filled. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that was a game changer for them, because all their cares and their fears and the things of being alone and thinking they, you know, walked away from everything they knew to follow this Jesus guy. But when the Holy Spirit came, it filled them with God's presence. And that's what you and I need in our life. Sometimes we just need to wait. Because believe me, you know, what they were waiting for was very important. And sometimes we need to tarry too and wait for the Holy Spirit. And he will come. Because Jesus said they would receive power. And that's what you and I need to live this life. We need the power of God. Because without the power of God, life can be really hard. I can still remember back in the day, my life without Jesus Christ and without God's power. Oh, granted, I got by and I was successful in some ways, but there was something inside me that always seemed like it was missing. I was a little empty in an area of my life. It wasn't until I surrendered my life to Christ, and then later I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, I just was able to see that all these things started to come into view and started to bring correction to my life. And so we need to, you know, get to the place where we hunger after things of God. And that's where that unity, and we need to unify our faith. You know, nothing being better than being on the same page with God. We need to line ourselves up with God. It's those crazy prayers, "God, I want what you want for my life. God, I'll follow you anywhere. God, I'll do anything that you want me to do." God will take us up on that. Those are radical prayers. They don't sound like much, but they are. Because God will take us up on it, and then we can start to see. And what it is that these people, they had a desperate faith. Because like I said, Jesus had left them. They all told them to go up in this room. And, you know, they were there together in one place, unity, crying out to God. They were desperate. They were desperate for more of God. And, you know, the sadness is in our culture that we do not live desperate for God anymore. We have so many things in our life that bring comfort. but so few things in our life that will bring correction. We need to get our course corrected and get back on the same flow with God. We cannot get along without Him. We need that heavenly wind, the Holy Spirit, to be able to come in our life. And when this happened, the power of God came and they all started to speak with other tongues. Now, when I was looking at this, I started to get curious about what causes wind. Wind is invisible, isn't it? You can't really see the wind, but you can see the effects of it, right? You can see what it does. It blows things around, all these things. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I don't even pretend to be one, but a simplistic way of looking at this is that wind is formed when heat is applied to an area of air, and it causes that air to rise, and then cool air comes in to take its place. And what happens then is wind starts. And see, when we're under the heat and pressure of life, hope, you know, those things cause us to get heated up. Hopefully, we're going to cry out to God and let the cool breeze of the Holy Spirit come into our life. Come into our life to bring comfort and to bring change, because we need help in all ways we can. Now, certain conditions cause the wind to blow, and I found out that certain conditions can cause the Holy Spirit to move in our life. Now, granted, the Holy Spirit is sovereign. He's God. God the Spirit. You know, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Spirit. And, you know, He's sovereign. And there's times, unbeknownst to us, the Holy Spirit's just going to move. That's because God's part of God's plan. But other times, we have to do maybe some certain things to get the Holy Spirit activated in our life. What are them things? Well, you know, worship is a good one. Prayer. Getting into the Word of God, all the simple things we all know. Those things, to me, get the Holy Spirit stirred up. Mainly focus is important. Not being distracted. You know, you can pray and you can worship and you can read the Word, but if your mind is distracted, don't work, does it? No, it's all about focus. It's about emptying yourself of yourself, right? Emptying yourself of you. Then you start to say, God, you know, I want more of you. I want to see you move in my life. You know, find some good songs that you like to worship to. Now, I like to pay patty cake just like the rest of them. The praise songs, they're all fine and dandy. But I tell you, what really moves me into the presence of God is the worship. You know, that's what really gets me where I need to be. And, you know, we worship God so we can do that. And, you know, through prayer and through all these different things, these avenues that you and I can do to get the presence of God stirred up inside of our life. And we can do that because, you know, kind of weird, but it says this in the Bible, that praise is important too, but God inhabits the praises of His people. So when we get to doing that, and in the Old Testament talked about when they were all in one accord, you know, all really, you know, that's why we sing. Hopefully, well, how many would like to come in and we're all singing different songs? Wouldn't that be kind of weird? You know, whoever sings the loudest wins, right? No, we're singing all the same song. That's why we put the words on the screen. So we can all have them in front of us and we can be saying the same thing at the same time. And hopefully our heart is in it. And then we see the presence of God come into this place. He was here anyway. God's with us all the time, but we don't feel Him all the time, right? I mean, maybe you're fortunate. Maybe you're one of the lucky ones that feel God's presence all the time. I happen not to be one of those people. You know, but there is times that I do feel the refreshing wind of His presence moving in my life. And it gives me direction. And that's what we need. and be able to keep those things, you know, flowing. I need to pick up the pace here a little bit. Next scripture I want to look at is John chapter 3, 6 to 8. Jesus was talking to one of the wise ones right here, Nicodemus. He was one of the people on the Sanhedrin, which was the leaders of the church government back then. Or not church government, but the temple government and things like that. But they were a form of the church, but they weren't. He was talking to him about some practical things, and then but he's getting into us, trying to get into the things of the Spirit. You know, see where he's at. You know, religion has a hard time understanding the things of the Spirit. You know, it's more into the, you know, the dot in the I's and cross in the T deals. You know what I'm saying? They don't read between the lines. You know, you got the Holy Ghost, you can read between the lines. Amen? We need that. Okay, it says here, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Okay, so my next point I'd like to see is the idea of we can't control the wind. Can't control the wind. See, the wind blows in our life to different seasons. You know, hopefully, my goal is to have a season of visitation. Amen? That's when God is visiting us. Praise God. In a big way. In a big way. Now, not all the time does that happen. There's different seasons, and you and I go through the ebb and flow of life, right? How many love to keep the feel? Remember when you got saved? And that feeling you got? Man, the joy of your salvation. That's what we call it. That's what they call it in the Bible. But sometimes we kind of lose that joy a little bit. Sometimes we go through stretches of the in-betweens. You know what I'm saying? God's in it when we start and we're heading over here. We know God's got a destination. But then in the middle of that journey, you know, it seems like we're going through the wilderness. We're going through the desert. All these different things are going on. And the only thing we have to go by is the last thing God told us. Well, that's the whole thing we need. But when we get out in the desert where it's dry, we kind of lose our way. We kind of forget. And that's a dangerous thing to have happen. So we see that, you know, the wind does mean things. Like today, we're in the wintertime of our state here of Iowa. Amen? Or oh my, however you want to look at it. And we get the cold winds of winter out of the north, don't we? So when the wind's blowing out of the north this time of year, now yesterday is weird. Today it's out of the north. Yesterday it was out of the south. South breeze in the winter is still cold with the temperature it was yesterday. But today we got a north breeze a little bit. And that's cold. And we go through those times in our life. The wind seems like it's blowing that certain way. Maybe things are going on, and then we go, then hopefully, you know, in a few months here, we're going to get them southern breezes, you know what I mean? That warmness is going to come, and we all look forward to that. I know every summer, I'm especially in the last few years, I'm just thinking, I love it hot. If it's 90 degrees, no problem. I love the sweat. I hate the freeze. Just how I'm wired now, I don't know. But I'm thinking in the winter sometimes, this goes through my mind, it's 90 degrees and how am I ever going to survive it when it's 10 degrees? How can I go through that? You know, it's so beautiful right now. I'm in this good place. You know, just love it. But I do know with my age, I know that, hey, there's going to be another season coming. But you know what I found out? Every winter, I get through it. I get through it. I get the grace to go through that winter. And it's the same in life. Maybe the winds are blowing a bad direction for you. Maybe you're going through something right now. But you're old enough to know it is going to turn around. It's just a season. It's not forever. And the wind's going to shift, and it's going to go black. God's going to give you the grace to get through this problem you have right now. You just got to hang on and just see it through to the end and not give up, not think this is it. We go through things. We don't live there. We got to hold on to that. As you learn them experiences through life, and so it's important. We need to learn to flow with the wind. 1 Kings 19:11-13, you have to look it up for yourself. You know, God was talking to Elijah here, and he was having a pity party. You ever had a pity party? You know, Elijah thought he was the only one left, bless God. Everybody else has bowed their knee to Baal. He had just called down fire not earlier than that, and wasted slew the prophets of Baal. I mean, God, big miracle. Well, then he got afraid of Jezebel and ran off. Thought, you know, God could call down fire and do all that, but he couldn't deliver him from that woman who's wanting to kill him. I don't get that one, but anyway, that's how he thought. So he ran away and did all this, and then God sent him to a place. Then God showed up to him, and then first it came in a violent wind, just blew in, but God wasn't in that violent wind. Then earthquake. God wasn't in that earthquake. We know God was in other earthquakes, but not this one. Then there was a fire. Holy Ghost fire. But God wasn't in it that time. What happened then? God came in a whisper. Just a small, gentle voice, and spoke to Elijah. See, God will do things different from time to time. So we can't get locked in the methods. We just got to stay true to the Spirit and to be able to follow Him. And that brought Him through. See, the wind of the Holy Spirit moves in the direction He wants. We just need to position ourselves to flow with it. Now, I know these are in several places around. But if you go north there on 63, heading up towards the interstate, how many have seen those wind turbines? A bunch of them, ain't they? Been there a while. Now, there can be 100 of them just going really good. But you know what sticks out? Is that one that ain't working. You ever notice that? Somehow you just kind of can't get your eye off the one that ain't working. You know, what's wrong with that one? And those things are made that they turn with the wind. They're able to turn so that they can get the best wind to be able to make them spin. Right? They were made that way. And so, if we find ourselves in a position in our life, or like even in a church service like this, and you look around the room and everybody's got their turbine spinning, yours ain't spinning, it ain't them. It's us. Right? A couple things could be happening. Number one, maybe something went wrong. It's not turning with the wind. It's not being able to flow with the Spirit of God is what we need to learn to do. To flow with Him and not against Him. And number two, could be broken. You might find this hard to believe that some people that come to church feel broken. But we know the healer. And His name's Jesus. We need to allow ourselves to be healed so that we can turn ourselves with the wind of the Spirit and to be able to flow with God and not against God. Because we're not going to change the wind. We need to let the wind change us. Amen? Let the wind of God's Spirit start to flow through us. And that's all possible through Jesus Christ. Last scripture I want to look at and finishing up here is found in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This is one that I alluded to last week. One of my favorite scriptures since I first was saved. Of course, I'm a masochist, never know. But anyway, it says, therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away in order for times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. See, we need that fresh wind or breeze for times of refreshing in our life. And so this point I want to see is the idea of winds of change. So maybe we need the wind of change. Maybe feel broken. You know, I know repentance is hard if you feel broken, but usually we get broken because we allow sin into our life. So the best way to get healed is to repent and to get rid of that. That wrong thinking. Everybody has wrong thinking from time to time. We need to get rid of that out of our life. And we need to get ourselves turned back so the time's refreshing. So, you know, we need to stop going the wrong direction and start going in the direction God's flowing. Sometimes we don't want to do certain things. It's not really us. It's our old nature. It's our flesh nature that doesn't want to surrender to God. It doesn't want to give up control. It wants to hold on to the things of this world because they're so comfortable and that's all they know. But I'll tell you, we need to let go, and we need to have courage to let go of those things and start to flow with God and go the direction that God wants us to go, and to allow those winds of change to put us on the correct course. Two things that you and I need to stimulate in our life is vision and passion. See, two ingredients for successful Christian living are vision and passion. We need those things flowing in our life to be able to operate in our life so that we can walk in a greater level of God. Vision is to know where you're going and what you're going to do when you get there. And passion is the driving force both to get you there and to sustain you while you're there. So we need that. Maybe you say, I don't have vision and passion, Pastor. Well, ask God. God, give me vision for my life. Give me passion to pursue it. See, it's one thing to know what you want, but it's another thing to have the fire to go after it. We have to go after it. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You know, Christianity is not for pansies. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. You can't be a pansy all the time. You have to get up, and you have to dust yourself off, and you just keep on going. How hard it is, you just keep fighting through. God, this is what I want. I know you can do it. You did it for them. You can do it for me. And you want it. You got to be hungry for it. Ask God to give you that hunger, to get after Him, and to get on with things. See, change always happens when the wind blows, and we need the wind of the Holy Spirit. When the wind blows, sails are filled and the ship moves in the direction the wind is blowing. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit give us direction for life and ministry. He can do that. Like I said, them wind turbines, when they spin, energy is produced. And so we need to let the wind of the Holy Spirit energize us. Help us so that we can be effective for ministry and the things that God's called us to do. So many people are drier than cracker juice. You know what I'm saying? We get so dried out. Allow the refreshing times of the Holy Spirit. And that happens when we practice the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's as simple as it is. The Holy Spirit just brings life. He brings life. And we need Him. And we need to cry out to Him right now. Let's pray.